Hi everyone, welcome to the True Crime Podcast, where we mainly focus on San Diego cases. My name is Arena.
I'm Renette. Hi, Arena.
Hi, Renette. How's it going?
Well, I kind of told you some shit that has been going on at work.
Yeah, a lot of shit that you're dealing with.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. But God, I think it's been a month and a half since we recorded, right?
I know, it's been really busy and hectic lately.
Yeah, but since we recorded last, I did my Idlewild trip and then I went to Portland, which was wonderful because we went through, we went to Cannon Beach. So it's the beach where they filmed Goonies, but we also went to the beach next door to it where Twilight, there was like,
oh yeah, Twilight scenes.
Yeah, it was, Arena, it's so beautiful. Like the, what is it called? The coast, the yeah. Quote, yeah, the Oregon coast. I can't even think right. But yeah, it was incredibly beautiful. The only thing that did suck is the day before we left, I don't know what I got. Like, I wasn't throwing up or nauseous, but my stomach was not doing well. And so the entire trip, TMI, but I couldn't eat anything without going to the bathroom immediately.
How weird.
I don't know what it was.
Or like drink something different that...
No, I was at work on Friday and my stomach felt a little funny. And then I was going to the bathroom a lot. And then I was like, God, please don't let me be like this like tomorrow morning. Because first of all, like I read that accident that happened on an airplane some months back where someone had like major diarrhea and went up and down the aisle. And I was like, please, dear God, don't let that shit be me. So I didn't eat nothing like the night before. And then that morning on the plus side, I think I did lose 5 pounds. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Anyways, yeah, how have you been?
Like a bug or something probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been all right. I've been taking care of my brother's puppy, Peanut Butter, and I'm house sitting and dog sitting for my friend while she's gone to Vietnam for a month visiting family. So.
Oh, nice.
They keep posting the food that they're eating and oh my God, like all the banh mi and the pho and like
oh
all
my God.
Dishes that I've never seen before and it looks so fresh and delicious and I'm like, ah, it looks so
yeah.
Good.
And I'm looking at the kitchen, her background, it looks like it's a nice place that yeah, you're staying at.
It's a really nice place. Yeah, it's a huge house. Like, compared to my one bedroom apartment, it's pretty nice. I'm not complaining about having to house sit for them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, this case that I'm going to talk about today, have you heard of Lars Metank? He's German. Lars Metank.
I don't think so.
All right. So Lars was born on February 9th, 1986 in Berlin, Germany. He had a good group of friends and a steady girlfriend. Lars has been described as a nice and sociable guy. His friends said that he was a funny guy who would try to make people laugh, and he was a peacemaker. He was really into football over there, but soccer for us, right? He was a really big fan of his local soccer team. And after high school, he trained to become a power plant operator. And he was a really hard worker. He really liked his job and he was happy with what he was doing.
Okay.
So he was an only child and he was really close to his parents who still lived in Germany. But when Lars did get the job at the power plant, it was about 93 miles away from where he grew up. So that put him at like almost 2 hours away from his parents. So he wasn't very far, but also not as close as he was used to. But even so, he still made that drive often to visit his parents because in 2012, Lars' father suffered a stroke. And so when that happened, Lars would even visit his parents more because he just wanted to help his mom and dad. Oh, he was just a really good son.
Yeah.
On June 30th, 2014, so Lars was 28 years old, he and five of his longtime friends took a vacation. And he never took vacations. Like, this was his first time going outside of the country, well, the country where he lived. So he took a vacation and they traveled to Varna, Bulgaria. And Varna is the third largest city in Bulgaria, and it's the largest on the Black Sea coast. So it's a popular party destination for younger people. It's been described as like a cheaper version of like Ibiza.
I was going to say, is it like their version of Cabo? Like how people here, they travel like to Baja or to Mexico?
Spring break. It's their version of like Cabo or Cancun, you know, places like that. Mm-hmm. So the area that they went to, Golden Sands, it had a lot of hotels in the area. And Lars and his friends, they stayed at the Viva Club Hotel. Now, Lars' mom, Sandra, she was surprised that Lars chose to vacation there because he was a very active young man. He preferred active adventures such as hiking, fishing. He also did diving. And not to say he wouldn't go to bars with his friends and have a drink, but she just didn't imagine him choosing like a destination of that sort.
Oh, yeah, that's like not his thing. All his friends were like, hey, let's go here. And he was like, okay.
Yeah. And it was probably, you know, he probably, if it wasn't like his top choice of things to do, he works so hard. He's a hard worker and he takes care of his parents so much. He's probably like, I just need a break.
Yeah, for sure.
So Lars and his friends, they arrived to Varna and they booked a week stay. They relaxed at the beach. They went to the pool. They went clubbing. They played soccer on the beach. They just had a really good time. And one of Lars' friends, Paul, is quoted as saying, "The week went by really fast. Lars was relaxed and he was in a good mood." And then Lars' other friend, Tim, when he was asked if he noticed anything out of the ordinary, Tim said that Lars did not eat a whole lot. He would often skip meals, and even when he would eat, Lars only had like a small salad or a small soup, and it was an all-inclusive resort, so food was included. You would think that most people,
was he trying to just not spend too much, or he wanted to save up money to buy like other stuff instead of on food? But if it's all-inclusive, like what the hell? Yeah, eat as much as you can.
Of course. And, you know, I'd be taking advantage and eating all of the food, right? But he didn't eat much. But it is also said that he was super health conscious. So, but still, it just seemed like he was eating a lot less than normal. But other than that, they didn't see anything out of the ordinary until the last part of the trip. So while they were there in Varna, it was at the peak of summer season and the World Cup semifinals were playing in probably, I imagine, every bar. Yeah. And like I had mentioned, he was a big fan of soccer. Mm-hmm. So on the 5th of July, Lars and his friends, they went to a bar to watch a match between Costa Rica and the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. There was a group of other German tourists there at the bar. So Lars, he was a fan of Werder Bremen, while the other German tourists were fans of Bayern Munich. And, you know, everyone's drinking and Lars was said to be silly and joke around a lot. And so he kind of like, I guess they had the flags up in the bar and Lars was moving the flags around. I don't know, the freaking penny she made a yelp, sorry. So he was just kind of messing with those flags, but this really angered the other German tourist. They ended up getting to a disagreement, and the other German tourists, like, it got really heated, but never turned physical. So at that point, Lars and his friends, they just decide to leave the bar, and the friends decided they wanted to grab a bite to eat at McDonald's.
Ooh, so McDonald's.
I wouldn't have eaten there. I mean, that's using your own money, right?
Yeah, I know, right? And what was I going to say? How long was this trip for? Did you say?
1 week.
1 week. Oh, okay.
So at this point, they are what? They went June 30th. So they're 5-6 days into it. So they're at the last day or two. So they go to McDonald's and Lars told them that he wasn't hungry. So he waited outside of the McDonald's while his friends ordered. They were inside and they were ordering their food. when the friends come out of the McDonald's, Lars was not there. But his friends just assumed that maybe he went back to the hotel already. Like, he just didn't want to wait around. But when they got to the hotel, Lars wasn't there.
Uh-oh.
So it's already like late, like really early in the morning. They had been drinking. They're probably exhausted of partying for 5 days, you know? So,
and if they've been drinking a lot, he's not eating a lot. That's not good either. Like, his mindset is probably, like, if he was really drunk at that night, especially, that he went missing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and then imagine, now that I'm thinking about it, it's hot. This is like in the middle of the summer. And where they're at, it's like 90 degrees and humid.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can. Oh, that sounds like he definitely needed some food in his system and he's not eating enough.
Mm-hmm. So a combination of not eating enough, the hot heat, all this drinking, you know. So then they go to sleep and figure that when they wake up in the morning that Lars is going to be there. So, Lars eventually, a few hours, he gets back to the hotel and he tells his friends that he was attacked and that he was beaten up while walking back to the hotel.
Uh-oh.
He said it was 4 guys that beat him up. He said they were either Bulgarian or Russian men. And okay. He said that he was punched in the ear. And he did say that his ear hurt a lot and he was just struggling to hear. So, but Lars' friends did say that they didn't see any visible marks on his body that suggested 4 men beat him up. So they didn't take his story serious. But you know, I started to think, well, if Lars hasn't been eating and maybe he was like drunk, like maybe if he said he was like beat up, attacked by 4 men, maybe it was like one punch just to the ear. So there was like no other visible signs of bruises or scratches on his body.
Yeah. And like, you don't, I mean, yeah, just because he's not like bleeding out of his ear doesn't mean there's not internal damage or something.
Of course. And so then the next day, so they just all go to sleep. The next day when they wake up, that they were supposed to fly back home that day, later in the day. So they decided, you know what, we're just going to take it easy today. We're going to lounge around the pool and around the beach. So the morning of when they were to fly back home, you know, even they decided to take it an easy day, Lars decided to go to the doctor because his ear was really hurting. And when he talked to his girlfriend on the phone that day, she did suggest to him, like, hey, maybe you should go to the doctor because I don't think getting on an airplane and flying and with the pressure from the plane is good.
Yeah, his eardrum could like burst or something. I've heard of that before. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so he does go to the doctor, and the doctor did confirm that he had a ruptured eardrum along an injured jaw.
Oh, my God.
So the doctor told him that he was not in any sort of condition to fly back home that day. He told Lars, actually, to go to the hospital for further evaluation, but mm-hmm. Lars chose not to go to the hospital.
Ugh. Why?
So, I know. Well, maybe because I don't know. Like, I wondered that too. But also, he was in this foreign country, and I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what it's like over there with like medical, like international. Like, if you have coverage or not. Like, you know, maybe mm-hmm. it's like way too expensive, and he was like, I can't even afford that, or something. Or yeah,
oh,
like
yeah.
He's scared to go to a hospital like in a foreign country or something.
Yeah. So Lars, he goes back to the hotel and he did tell his friends, like, hey, I do have a ruptured eardrum and it was said that I should not fly back home due to the pressure changes on the airplane because that could cause more damage. Mm-hmm. So apparently one of his friends offered to stay the extra days with Lars, but Lars told him, no, it's okay. And I'm okay. And so Lars' friends boarded their flight back to Germany and Lars was left alone.
Oh, no. I hate when that happens. Cause it's like you offer and you want to be like, no, I can like stay with you or this or that. And then That always happens, and they're like, "No, I'm gonna be fine," or "It's okay. It's a real quick trip," or it'll just be a day, and then something bad happens.
Yes. I feel like if I was in that situation, Arena, I wouldn't be able to be okay with myself with leaving my friend, especially like if they were beat up, and I would be like, no, I'm staying.
With
I'm
all
not
the
leaving you alone.
factors of him like not feeling well, and if he's not a big partier, he's in a foreign country for the first time. Oh.
Peanut
Sorry.
butter.
The dogs. Hold on, I think the doorbell. Sorry, Renette.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to leave my friends either because it's all like the factors that were slowly coming out, like little things like he wasn't eating well, he was acting funny, he was drinking when he's not a big partier, he's in a foreign country for the first time, he's like refusing to go to the hospital. I would not feel comfortable leaving my friend alone like that either.
No, definitely not. And maybe like he probably felt bad telling his friends, like maybe he deep down wanted someone to stay, and he just felt like bad for like
Yeah,
having to
like
rearrange someone else's travel plans.
be like, I don't want to be a nuisance.
Yeah. So they go back to Germany. Lars is left all alone. And at that time, Lars decides to take the taxi to the Saint Anna Hospital. He decides, you know what, I will get that further evaluation. So he sees an ENT specialist, and the ENT confirmed that yes, Lars did have that ruptured eardrum that the other doctor said, and he recommended that Lars have surgery to repair it. But Lars, and I did Google, like, do you have to have surgery for like a ruptured eardrum? And a lot of times, like, you don't need to have it. But anyhow, Lars didn't want to have the surgery done there, and I don't blame him. I mean, he probably felt more comfortable having it done at home because he can have like his family and friends looked after him. And again, the cost, right? You know, so anyways, so the ENT prescribed Lars an antibiotic called Cefprozil. So it was around 9:40 p.m. when Lars left the hospital and declined to have that surgery, but went to get the antibiotic. So the same taxi that took him there, he was waiting for him. And the taxi driver takes Lars to the pharmacy to pick up the prescription for the antibiotic. And then now it's time for Lars to figure out, where the hell am I going to stay? Lars asked the taxi driver, is there any cheap hotels that you recommend for me to stay? But remember, it's peak summer season, so most hotels are booked. This is July 7th.
That sucks.
So the taxi driver did recommend a place called Hotel Color, and it was about 10 minutes or so away from the Varna airport. It was definitely not a same type of area, like where you feel nice, like safe. It was very different. This area was definitely run down, and it had a shady feel to it. But Lars didn't have much of a choice, and I imagine he was probably
Only
just
his
so
only
tired.
option.
So the taxi driver drops him off, and he said that Lars thanked him and gave him a nice tip. So when Lars checks in to the cheap hotel at around 10:20 p.m., he was going to go to the store that was just directly across the street to buy something to snack on and a water to take his antibiotics with. But when he s is about to step outside, he sees some men out there that made him feel uncomfortable. So he just decides to purchase some water from the hotel, and he goes to his hotel room. And this is when he calls his mom, Sandra, because he's very close, extremely close to his parents. Which also I should mention, he did not have his like typical everyday cell phone with him. He ended up buying like one of those prepaid cell phones for that trip because he figured, like, I don't want to, like, if I lose it, this is just a cheap prepaid cell phone. I don't want to lose my
Your
personal
actual.
cell phone. So, he tells his mom, Sandra, that he wanted her to block, like put a freeze on his credit card. She asked, what do you mean? Why? He said, I'm scared that it might have been copied when I checked in. And throughout that first night, Lars' mom, said that he called her a lot. and he was texting her a lot, and he appeared to be very worried and quite paranoid. He even told her that he was being followed by four men. He also told her that he felt that the ENT doctor treated him very unkindly. In fact, he felt that the doctor was mocking him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's
scary. Yeah.
He also purchased travel insurance for his flight. So in the event of a medical emergency, they would cover the expenses. Mm-hmm. And so Lars asked Sandra if he could call the travel insurance company so that they can figure out his transportation back home to Germany. She was trying to calm him down because she said he was very, very paranoid. She said, don't worry. If you want, I could just book you a bus ticket back home for the next day rather than a flight, because at least if no matter what, if you go on a bus, you can come home. You don't have to wait for this and that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, couldn't you have tried to take a train or like a bus? Yeah, instead of, and just deal with the long hours of sitting on a bus. Yeah.
So she said, yeah, I mean, she told him, you know, don't worry, try to get some sleep. The next morning, I'm going to get you that bus ticket. Just go try and get some rest. And tomorrow morning, we're going to sort everything out. So they hang up, but Lars calls her back almost right after. And he tells her that something is not right at that hotel. And he tells her that he needs to get out of there. And something I did want to bring up is, I don't want to give the ending of this case away, but at some point, Sandra does hire a private investigator who says that he stayed at plenty of sketchy hotels. And Hotel Color is a place that he would never stay.
Oh no, and that was recommended by the taxi driver?
And who knows if the taxi driver was like, you know, yeah, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently there's a lot of bad things that go on there. And I guess Lars overheard a conversation going on, he said, and it was just some really sketchy stuff, and it just put him like on high alert.
Damn. I'm all alone and I feel so bad. And he's in a foreign country.
Foreign country.
Oh my gosh.
So surveillance camera from inside the hotel shows that throughout the night, Lars is pacing around the hotel's common areas. And he's seen constantly looking out of the windows. And he's even seen hiding in the hotel's elevator.
Oh my gosh, poor guy.
And that reminded me of like the Elisa Lam case.
Yeah.
So he eventually leaves in the middle of the night. And when he leaves the hotel for a short period of time in the middle of the night. And when he's gone, he calls his mom and he's whispering to her. And he told her that he left the hotel. He said that there were four guys following him. He said that he was somewhere up high hiding so that the men would not follow him. Now, can you imagine? His poor mom is just terrified and she feels so helpless.
She wants to help, but there's not much she can do.
No. And I think it was at this point, it was like around 2 or 3 a.m. And so she just decides at that point, you know what? Screw the travel insurance. I'm booking you an immediate flight home. She told him, go to the airport. I'm booking you the first flight home.
Yeah.
So he goes back to the hotel to grab his belongings. And it's at around 5 a.m. where he is seen standing outside of the road, like of the hotel, and he's frantically waving for a taxi to give him a ride to the airport.
Yeah.
And the taxi driver already had a woman in the car, but the woman and the taxi driver could tell that Lars was really anxious, so they pulled over to pick him up, and they did later say that his pupils appeared to be dilated, like really dilated. So he arrives at the airport and he calls his mom just to tell him, you know, I'm here, I'm at the airport. But he told her, the battery on my phone is almost dead. And I'm assuming since he was in a rush to get his belongings and he was paranoid, he just forgot the charger at the hotel.
Oh no.
So he and his mom keep the conversation short to preserve what little battery he has left, but he did mention to her on that phone call that he was relieved at being at the airport.
Yeah.
So his flight was not set to depart until several hours later. And, you know, he was explaining to his mom that, you know, he was really dirty since he was like running around and hiding and that sort of stuff. So Sandra told him it's probably a good idea to go to the bathroom and kind of
Yeah,
like clean yourself
wash
up a little bit.
it
And she also told him maybe you should go to the airport doctor to make sure it is okay to fly. Because she figured, you know, even though I want to put you on, you know, you're going to take that first flight back home, I just don't want to risk
Yeah.
your ear getting any more damage. And she said, and if the doctor says no, then we'll do that bus ticket right straight away. And so he said,
Because
okay.
he barely started the antibiotics, right? Like that, those aren't going to kick in for another few days.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then Lars said, okay. He asked her to Western Union him over some money. And he never said the amount that he needed. And she never asked for how much. But I thought it was strange because so that night when he checked into the night before the hotel caller, since he had that freeze on the credit card, his mom asked him, oh no, well, do you have enough money, you know, cash to get you by it? And he said that, no, I'm okay. I have a lot of cash on me. And she said, oh, okay. So they put that freeze. Anyhow, how did he blow through that good amount of cash that he had on him? That's what I do wonder.
How much did he say he had, or did he
I
start
don't
with?
know how much, but he said he had enough to get, you know, he had a lot of cash on him and he was going to be okay with the credit card being frozen.
Okay, yeah.
So he asked her to Western Union money. He never gave an amount. Anyways, he asked her and she said, of course, no problem. But neither of them have ever used a done a Western Union. So Lars told her, well, it's no problem. There's a Bavarian man that had explained to him how to do it. She said, so he's going to explain it to me and then I'll tell you how to do it. So she sends him over $600 through the Western Union. And she said, I'm going to give you the flight and bus information. And I want you to write it down in case your phone completely dies. And he said,
Yeah.
okay. So he said he wrote it down. So they hang up. Lars goes to the bathroom to wash up. And during that time, the Western Union transfer went through. So Sandra calls him to tell him, you know, that the money is there. And he did pick up his phone and she heard splashing, like water splashing. So she assumed he was cleaning up.
Yeah.
But that would be the last phone call that he would ever answer.
Oh
At around 9 a.m., Lars goes to that doctor, the airport doctor. The doctor did say that Lars appeared to be nervous and anxious. So the doctor takes Lars' temperature and he had no fever. And he looked at his ear and he told him, yeah, you're clear to fly. Like, go ahead and get on an airplane, but I need you to sign a waiver, to which
yeah.
Lars was okay with. And he signed the waiver. The doctor also gave Lars some ear drops. And then he wanted to give him like a pain medication, but Lars didn't want to take that pain medication. And I understand, like, one time I had like a ovarian cyst that burst, and when I went to the ER, they tried giving me pain medication. I don't like taking any sort of that stuff, so I get it. There's just some people who are weird with that sort of stuff. And so he declined the pain medication, but at some point during the examination, a construction worker walked into the doctor's office, and so the airport was getting like remodeling done. But for whatever reason, when Lars seen the construction man come in, he became increasingly anxious and he screamed out loud, I don't want to die here. I have to get out of here. And before the doctor even had a chance to calm him down, Lars ran out of there. He ran so fast as if his life depended on it.
What? So you
And
recognize the guy, the construction worker, maybe? Or
I
his
don't
parents?
know. There's different theories on who this person is. I don't know. But when he got up and ran out of there saying he didn't want to die there, he left his backpack and his travel bag, which he'd been carrying the entire time, which also his cell phone was in that backpack.
Oh
Now, surveillance video captured Lars running through the airport. And it's crazy because, yeah, you can see this like on YouTube. Once we post this episode onto the podcast page, I'll upload the video. But it's crazy because you can just, he is sprinting through that airport. He gets out, runs through that entire airport, gets out the front door. Once he got out of the airport, he slowed down to take like a brisk walk. And as he was going through the parking lot, but once he got across the parking lot, he started to run again. And he got to this grassy area. And then he was out of camera frame for a while. But witnesses seen him climb over a fence. The fence was around 8 feet high. And on top of it, there was barbed wire. But Lars was able to jump over that fence, over that barbed wire, where he ran into a field of sunflowers that were about 6 feet high. And then he disappears into the woods behind the field.
What the heck?
At 11, and I'm telling you need to watch this video. It's so sad. Like, it's crazy. So at 11 a.m., Sandra calls the airport, but there is a language barrier. And it seems as if like the airport employees didn't take Sandra serious, so they didn't do anything to help her. So she decides to call the consulate. At 12 p.m., they call her back and they tell her that Lars was seen by the airport doctor, but there really wasn't much else that they could do. So the next day, Sandra files a missing persons report in Germany. On July 10th, one of Lars' coworkers happened to be in the area of where Lars was last seen. So Sandra asked him to please pay a visit to the airport and see if he can get any information. So he goes to the airport, but there's no information. On July 17th, a week or so, has it been a week? 10 days have went by, and she doesn't know where her son is. Last she knows is he was seen by the airport doctor, and that's all that she knows. But she ends up hiring a private investigator and an attorney as well to help her find her son. And on July 24th, Sandra decides to travel to Varna herself with a private investigator and the attorney. They go to the airport, and the employees show her the footage of him running through that airport. I cannot even imagine how she must have felt as a mother. I don't care how old your kid is, but seeing your 28-year-old kid running for his life.
Like sprinting away from something that he believes is gonna kill him.
And just knowing how erratic his behavior was, like the couple days leading up to that.
And
So,
like when you have an ear problem, like everything about you is off balance. Like, and you don't know what you're seeing, your walking is like you kind of in vertigo, and like you're not thinking right. And so, and the fact that he, like earlier you were saying how he wasn't eating well at all either, taking these medications and stuff. I mean, who knows what the hell he was going through?
And what if he was taking that medication with alcohol?
Oh, that's right. And not enough hydration, not enough food in your system. That's bad.
And then, you're partying for a week. What if he wasn't sleeping much, So she sees that video and she couldn't believe it. In the video, he's seen looking in three different directions. So in the first direction, he's looking like at the area from which he came from, which, when he got dropped off to the airport was the hotel color. And in the second direction, he's looking where there's two police cars parked outside. And then the third was in the direction to where the field is. And that's where he was like, I'm running to there. That's my safe. For whatever reason in his mind, he felt like he'd be safe over there. So when he starts to head towards the field, It seems as if he's making sure that the police cars don't see him because that's when he kind of slows down from a run to like a brisk walk. And then once he's out of the sight of the police cars, he starts running again. But also, like I should mention, you can see him. He's hiding behind signs, and there was even a moment where there was like a big pile of sand, and he was hiding behind that sand, and to where he eventually runs to the fence and climbs over it. Sandra did say, like in an interview, that she felt that in the footage, Lars looked to be of sound mind because she said that it's not like he was. Sure, he was running for his life, but it's not like he was running frantically. Like he was level-headed enough to look in the areas where he felt like danger could have been coming. Sandra asked to see the footage of when Lars arrived to the airport, but the airport employees said that they no longer had the footage of that. But time goes by and, there's searches of the area where they use drones, they use cameras with thermal imaging. They had cadaver dogs, but they found nothing.
My God.
Sandra went to psychiatric hospitals. They went to jails, homeless shelters, and still nothing.
My gosh.
They hung posters all around the area asking, "Have you seen this man?" And it gave a general description of his height, weight, and then there was a photo of what he looks like. But nobody recognized him. The PI, he even went to stay at the Hotel Color to see if he can find out like any information or hear any shady things going on, but sadly nothing came of it. Sandra believed that Lars was still out there, and so she was doing as many television, radio interviews that she could do because she wanted to give her son as much exposure as she possibly could. There was even a well-known German Unsolved Mysteries program that featured Lars' case on TV, and there was a bunch of tips that came in. Most of the tips were about homeless people that resembled Lars, but none of the sightings were ever him. There were two truck drivers that thought they believed to have picked him up hitchhiking, but nothing was able to be definite. 2 years later, so in December
Two
of
years?
2016, 2 years, she's
Oh my gosh.
as a mom, just knowing, the state, mental state he was in, and then seeing that video of him running for his life,
And
and
then
then
no excuse of him.
and it's your only, I mean, it doesn't matter how many sons, I shouldn't say that, but it's like they were really close to each other. I can imagine, but 2 years later go by. So in December of 2016, police in Brazil thought that they had a break in the case. Police officers found a man walking barefoot along the
In
freeway.
Brazil? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was this man like was walking around along the freeway. He was barefoot. He was really out of it, just really confused, and he looked all disheveled. So they pull over to talk to him, and he wasn't carrying any form of ID. And when they asked him who he was, he didn't know who he was. So they took him to the hospital. And they posted a picture of this man laying in a hospital bed. And this picture was posted on social media. And I seen the picture, and he looks so much like Lars, like so much. I really thought, I was like, oh my God, I can see why they thought it was him. So, I mean, it was same height, same color of hair, everything. But eventually, the police were able to identify the man, and he was a Canadian humanitarian worker who went missing 5 years ago.
Oh my God.
And thankfully for that man and his family, they were able to reunite him with his family. But as of today, Lars is still missing.
Oh my gosh, he still hasn't been found?
He still has not been found, and there's so many theories as to what people think happened. There's a theory saying that Lars and his friends probably used drugs while on vacation. And when the friends left to go back home and Lars was left alone, it might have put him into like a drug-induced psychotic episode since he stopped doing the drugs like cold turkey. But what doesn't make sense about that is Lars' friends said Lars didn't take drugs.
I was just gonna say,
So.
like, did they interview the friends and be like, hey, like, you're not gonna get in trouble. Let us know. You guys, did something that you weren't supposed to. But if they said no, what the hell? That's so crazy.
And there's another theory. To me, it seems very unlikely, but they said that, well, maybe Lars was being used as a drug mule because it was the crime rate where they were at, like like all of the cartels and all that, it was really bad over there. And they said maybe he was a drug mule and he could have swallowed something that broke inside his body and made him act that way. But I don't think, I mean, I would imagine with if he swallowed something, they probably put enough drugs in there where it would kill him, right? I don't know. But then Sandra's mom, I mean, I'm sorry, Sandra Lars' mom, she thinks that it's possible that her son had an adverse reaction to the antibiotic because there was a couple times where he texted her asking her to look up that antibiotic, like, what does it do? And so we looked it, or I looked it up, and it says it's very rare. It's not impossible. But another theory, the one that I was like, oh shit, is maybe he suffered a head injury after being attacked by that group of men.
Yeah, like a
And
concussion
that,
and just fucked him up.
yes, like that could have been it, right? And then, I don't know, but then also, so then Lars' family and friends, they said that they think he is still alive to this day. He might have amnesia. Some think that he was probably just wandering around confused. And since he was in a rough area near the airport, something could have happened there. Like, it's
Yeah.
possible, but also if that's the case, like if he was just confused and here this tourist and somebody did bat something bad to him because he was in that shady area, they wouldn't hide his body. I mean, why would they hide his body?
Or maybe he was attacked that one night when his friends were still there. Maybe they were trying to kidnap him to, put him in one of those like rings of like what are they called? And they kidnap people to human
Human
trafficking,
trafficking? Some
maybe. And
people, so that's a theory.
then he was foreign and really young.
And good looking. If you look up
Good
a
looking.
picture of
He
him.
was left alone. He was standing outside by himself. He was drunk. I mean, vulnerable. Perhaps they were like he was targeted, and he knew ever since that night he was being followed. He got paranoid, the head injury, not eating well, all the factors built in together. I mean, who knows? He might have gotten attacked and kidnapped, and they make sure that the police and no one could ever find him again.
Yeah, because I even thought like maybe like where everybody on the out or not everybody, a lot of people outside looking in think, oh shit, like he was really paranoid. He was tripping, but also like maybe he had every reason to be that way. And maybe we don't know who those other German tourists were who got in that disagreement. Maybe they were following him, tormenting him. You don't know.
And there's a bunch of, I mean, there's so many stories of like different like people targeting specifically tourists, and they all talk to one another and they say, look, this is the next target, or like this group of guys, choose one of them, like and just that's how they get their victims, apparently.
Yeah. And he's actually often referred to as the most famous missing person on YouTube. The airport surveillance footage of him running out of the airport has been viewed over 16 million times.
Oh my gosh, I need to watch
It's you need to see it. He's been missing as of today for over 9 years. And yeah, that was the case of Lars. And I know it's different from the other cases that at least I've done, but I came across that video. I was like on a true crime subreddit and someone posted the video and I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is this? And I know it's probably a shorter episode, but I was like, well, I'd like to talk about it. It's just, if you see that video, it's just like really sad. It's
No,
scary.
that was really interesting. Definitely different since all of our cases, I believe, maybe except for one, have been solved. This one is like unsolved, but not even finding him. Like that's
No.
what's extra scary. 'Cause if they at least had closure of finding his body, which, knock on wood, I hope he's still alive and well, but he's just missing. But like the fact of just not knowing, I feel so bad for his family and his
Oh
friends.
my God, not knowing where your child is, like they just vanished into thin air in a foreign country. You know, the fear and worry. She said that he sounded so terrified that she could hear his heartbeat through the telephone.
Oh, that's so sad. I feel, oh my gosh, awful. And then the dad, you said he had suffered a stroke, so was he just like
Yes.
back home kind of waiting and hoping that he would return?
Yep. And his mom did. There is a Facebook page that she created. I think it's titled Find Lars. She updates things like when it's the anniversary of this, she posts pictures. She hasn't lost hope. She thinks that he's still out there, and I hope to God that he is, and one day he can be reunited with his family. Also did Can you imagine being one of the friends that went with him on the trip?
Yeah, that's fucking awful. So much guilt.
Yeah. I mean, because again, they knew he was attacked. I don't know. I just couldn't. The situation that Lars was in, there's just no way. And I know this is not their fault, but I'm just saying.
No, yeah, definitely. And like that's like one thing that I always hear about on true crime podcasts, the other ones that I listen to or shows. They always say like just be extra careful, extra paranoid, especially in these situations where you have an inkling that something's wrong or something they shouldn't be left alone. Like just be that paranoid friend and just be there for them. Like don't, be extra careful. It's better safe than sorry in the end.
So yeah, that was the case of Lars.
Oh my
Sad
gosh.
case. Hopefully he'll be found. It's just, I wonder what the hell happened to him. What was it?
That's crazy. That kind of reminded me a little bit of there's a couple of cases that are unsolved where this I think we've talked about it once before on one of our other cases where a young boy was here in the US. He was on the phone with his like girlfriend and waiting to get picked up, but he didn't really know where he was and he was waiting and all of a sudden she heard the phone drop and the line went dead. And he like went missing, and like
Oh,
they couldn't find
yes.
him.
I don't remember what case that was, but yes, that sounds familiar.
And like a lot of people's theory was that he was either kidnapped for sex trafficking, or perhaps he was running in a field, a farm of like farms surrounding him. And they said that there are a lot of wells, like abandoned wells in the floor, and if the wood gets like rotted or the cover of the well isn't us like safe or situated well, then a lot of times people can just fall through or like animals fall through.
Oh my
And so I was
gosh.
like, what the hell? Like I don't
Jeez.
know where because he ran into a sunflower field, Lars.
Yeah.
Sunflower. I wonder like
And there was a highway on the other side of it, but yeah. But I mean, and I Googled trying to see, like, did he because I know he left his backpack and his luggage, but he did have his wallet in his, from what they think, because his wallet wasn't in the backpack. Like, so did he have his passport? And he did have his passport on him, but it did expire. I think it was supposed to expire 4 weeks after. But again, it would have shown if he took a flight. I mean, this was what, 2014. So, but
That's
yeah,
scary.
that's it, Arena.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was really well told. Thank you, Renette. That was a very, very sad, interesting, and very sad case. I'm definitely going to look up more information on him and watch that video.
Yeah, please watch that video.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening, and I'll try to have a case ready for our next episode. And yeah, thank you so much. We hope you keep listening. Bye.
Hi.
Okay,
You
Libby.
still waved, Arena, as a thing.